the notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, now that the holiday gift-giving season has come, and pretty much gone, it might be a good time to take a look at some of those swell books that folks found under their trees, or, this year, even more likely, on their ebook readers. Amazon reports that this year, electronic books, or ebooks, outsold the regular old paper ones at the mega retailer's website, and the Amazon ebook reader, called the Kindle, was the number one seller at Amazon.com this holiday season. While reading novels on a portable electronic reader may not be everyone's cup of tea, it's still pretty clear that in publishing, as in many other fields, in this digital age, the times they are a-changin'. Chances are pretty good that some folks listening today are proud new owners of one ebook reader or another this holiday season, and there are getting to be quite a few of them. Most folks who are more or less resigned to living in the 21st century have undoubtedly heard of the Amazon Kindle, or maybe the Sony Reader, or the forthcoming Barnes & Noble Nook. In addition to these widely known devices, there are probably a dozen more from smaller companies. And with the 2010 Consumer Electronics Show, CES, just around the corner in Las Vegas, there'll probably be several more hitting the shelves very soon. So, what accounts for the popularity of these ebook readers? Well, they're pretty neat in a number of ways. They're portable, and thanks to something called e-ink technology, they have a very readable screen that you can read books or newspapers or magazines on, only in black and white, but at a resolution which is as good as that of the printed page. And then there's the selection of titles. A Kindle owner, for example, can go to Amazon.com, select from almost 400,000 book titles, pay less for the book than if it were a printed copy, download it, and read it on the Kindle. Barnes & Noble has its own selection of hundreds of thousands of titles, as does Sony, and a consortium of publishers is getting ready to launch its own website soon, so even more titles will be available there. These ebook readers can store the content of hundreds of books at a time on a device that's about the size of a single very thin paperback. And they have a variety of features, like being able to fold down the corners of electronic pages you want to remember, providing a place to take notes, allowing you to make the text larger or smaller, and so on. And although the Kindle initially only allowed its owners to read books that were in the proprietary Amazon file format, most of these e-readers now also make it possible to read PDF, portable document format files, or text files, so that you can download and read books for free from sites like the Gutenberg Project at www.gutenberg.org. These free books are, for the most part, older books on which copyright has expired. But if you want to read Dickens or The Count of Monte Cristo or any of the other 30,000 out-of-copyright titles available at Project Gutenberg, you can get them all for free. Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Sony and others entering this market are hoping, however, that you'll want to read current bestsellers and other works still under copyright, for which they can charge you a fee, often these days $9.99, and sell you a file that can only be read on the device that you downloaded it onto. What they're charging you that $9.99 for, however, may come as a bit of a surprise. A few months ago, Kindle owners who had bought and paid for George Orwell's famous books 1984 or Animal Farm got a big surprise. Those Kindle owners woke up one morning and found that Amazon had removed the books from their Kindles overnight without them knowing anything about it. Yep, that's right. In order to buy books or check what's new at Amazon or these other proprietary services, you have to use the vendor's download service, which it turns out can also be an upload service. In other words, the bookseller can get into your machine and do what it wants with it, even though you laid out $300 or $400 for the thing and bought and paid for, in this case, Orwell's books. After a huge outcry from customers, Amazon did provide refunds and eventually explained that the books had been put on the Amazon site by a company that didn't actually own the copyright, and so Amazon had no choice but to pull back all the copies they'd sold. That makes good sense from one perspective. but the implications are a bit disturbing. You see, if you buy an electronic book from one of these services, you aren't actually buying the book the way you would if you walked into a brick-and-mortar Barnes & Noble, or better yet, into your local bookshop. In that case, you would own the copy, and you could give it to your brother, or donate it to the library, or leave it to your children in your will. The ebook you pay for, on the other hand, you are, from the seller's point of view, only buying a license to read. You cannot do with it what you want, even after you pay for it. Digital rights management technology built into the file and into your ebook reader makes sure of that. You essentially are renting a title that you select and pay for. Ebook readers have other characteristics it's good to be aware of. While it's a great convenience to be able to log on to the vendor's online bookstore using your ebook reader and not even have to pay for the wireless connection, it may not be such a great convenience to leave a record behind of all the titles you even looked at, not just those you bought. Needless to say, those records are kept for who knows how long. And of course, should law enforcement agencies ever want to see them, the information on your purchase and even on your searching history is there for the asking. Like many of today's emerging digital technologies, ebook readers are very attractive in lots of ways and have many neat features. But they also have features that some may not consider quite so desirable. It pays to be aware not only of the features that you find valuable, but also of those that you don't, so you can make an informed choice about what to buy and how to use it, so that it serves you and not the company you paid good money to buy the device from. If you're interested in looking at some of the privacy aspects of various ebook readers and sellers, you may want to take a look at An Ebook Buyer's Guide to Privacy, prepared by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's at www.eff.org/deeplinks/2009/12/e-book-privacy. That address, of course, will accompany today's program on the WERU Archives website. And if you're interested in continuing to look at the way digital technology works and how it may impact our daily lives and those of our children in the coming, what we hope will be, a very happy new year, then please continue to join us right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.